What he says we will do, let's turn to Acts chapter 3. And we're going to look at his authority this morning. What he says we will do. I've entitled this message, Why Should I Listen to You? Why should you listen to me? Why should these people listen to Peter? Why should they have even listened to Jesus Christ? Here in Acts chapter 3, we have the healing of the lame man, lame from birth. But God's design for healing this man goes beyond just giving him the ability to walk. It's to demonstrate to this man his goodness. And later in this chapter, where we're going to be today, Peter points out the hearer's relationship with the healer by dealing with four issues that these sinners must face. All of us are sinners. All of us must face the same thing. The first issue we must face is that of ignorance, verses 17 and 18. Repentance, verses 19 to 21. And this morning, authority, verses 22 to 24. And priority, verses 25 to 26. We must face, as sinners, the issue of authority. Who says that you're a sinner? And who is it who has the authority to tell you that you are a sinner? Who is it who has the authority to tell you you need to repent? Why should I listen to them or to him? Verse 22, Peter goes on in his message there at the temple, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. The Jews could ask, why should we listen to Jesus or what you have to say about Jesus, Peter? Who did Jesus think he is to tell us what to do? Who made him the authority? Why should we listen to him? You know, men have always questioned what is authoritative and who is the authority and who they should listen to. Well, we should listen to the scientists because the scientists are always right as they change from one generation to the next about what they believe is true. Or we should listen to the psychiatrists because they know the human soul and they can tell us what we are as they change their minds, the APA, every year about, well, this was bad and this is a disorder and now, well, it's perfectly normal. Or we should listen to the philosophers as they disagree with one another. Who's the authority? Peter wants these people to observe how Moses in the Old Testament, a man they really revered, how Moses emphasized the absolute authority of someone who was yet to come. And so as we look at this issue of authority, I want you to see that in verse 22, the verse we just read, that hearing him is commanded. Hearing this prophet is commanded. It says, him shall ye hear in all things. Well, the question is, who is him? Who does him refer to? Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear. Who is he? Who is this him? Well, let's see what Moses says in the Old Testament, what Peter's quoting here about him, the prophet, or a prophet he is referring to. First of all, we see the prophet's credentials. Notice there in verse 22, Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up. In other words, he's going to be raised up. This does not mean he's going to be raised from the dead. That's not what this is referring to. It's the same idea that you'll see again in verse 26. Unto you first, God having raised up his son Jesus. It has to do with putting him on the scene, causing him to appear, bringing him into the world. He has raised him up for you to see. By the way, he was raised up not of himself, but by the Lord your God. And Moses truly said this. Moses truly said, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto whom? Unto you, the ones I'm speaking to. You know what Jesus said earlier? He was talking to some Jews in John 5 and verse 46, and he said this, for had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me. For he wrote of me. Isn't that interesting? Jesus himself said, Moses wrote about me. 1400 years ago, Moses wrote about me. You know what this prophet's credentials are? That God raised him up. God appointed him. This him we are talking about. Secondly, we see the prophet's comparison, because you see there in verse 22, like unto me. Well, here's the comparison. Moses is saying that the one God will raise up is like unto me. He says, of your brethren. In other words, not some foreigner you're not able to understand. He's your brother. I mean, he's a Jew of your brethren. Secondly, like unto me. Now, this is referring to Deuteronomy chapter 18. So let's go back to Deuteronomy 18 and see what Peter is quoting here. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, we read this in verses 15 to 18. I'm going to ask you to stay in Deuteronomy 18, even as I finish reading this, because I'm going to make some references to it here in a little while. So have two places open in your Bible, Deuteronomy 18 and Acts chapter 3. So Deuteronomy 18, 15, the Lord thy God, Moses speaking here, will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. You need to listen to him. According to all that thou desiredst of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee. So note something, this is not Moses he's going to raise up, it's somebody like Moses. Verse 18, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Peter is now referring back to that passage which all these Jews would be aware of. They revered Moses. And yet, when you go back in the Old Testament, how did they treat Moses? Time and again. I mean, you've got his own brother, and so you've got his brother Aaron, you've got his sister Miriam, who come to him one day, and they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? Numbers chapter 12. Who does Moses... constantly questioning his authority. Even his brother and sister. The high priest is questioning his authority. And the Lord heard it, it says in Numbers 12:2. By the way, he hears everything. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. He hears everything that we say. He heard it. And he strikes Miriam with leprosy. I wonder, why didn't he strike Aaron too? He was part of it, but he strikes Miriam, and the fear of God comes on them. And Aaron begins to plead with the Lord for his sister Miriam. And the Lord said, had she done this in any other way, you know what? She needs to be shamed. 7 days. Let her go out of the camp for 7 days. And then he healed her. They rebelled against Moses. And then there was another rising that came. And this is just a few chapters later in Numbers, when Korah and his assembly, his crowd, said to Moses, wherefore lift ye up yourselves, talking to both Moses and Aaron. Now it's kind of interesting, Aaron's getting a little bit of his own medicine. Wherefore lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? Well, you know who lifted them up above the congregation of the Lord? God had raised Moses up. Just as the promises made, God is going to raise somebody else up. And you Jews, Peter is preaching, who are listening to me, as Moses prophesied, truly Moses said, there's going to be someone who's going to come. God's going to raise him up. You had better listen to him. You see, the Jews well understood Moses to be a type of the anticipated Messiah. In John 1:21, when John the Baptist began his ministry, they said this to John the Baptist, art thou that prophet? Art thou that prophet? That word that takes you back to Deuteronomy 18. The Jews, in fulfillment of Deuteronomy 18, were expecting a prophet like Moses. John the Baptist, are you that prophet? No, I am not. The one I'm speaking of is someone I can't even loosen his shoes. I'm not worthy enough. In fact, he must increase, but I must decrease. He is somebody so far above me, I can't even bend down to untie his shoe or to tie his shoe. And yet Moses was unique. There was no prophet like Moses in all of the Old Testament. We know that because Deuteronomy 34:10 says, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. You talk about a man who walked with God. You talk about a man who was unique. It was Moses. And yet, it's not Moses who's coming, but somebody like Moses. Christ was like Moses in his life. Both were preserved from death in infancy while others were slain. Do you remember that? Both spent many years in humble toil. Moses is a shepherd. Jesus is a carpenter. Both fasted 40 days in a wilderness. Moses upon Mount Sinai. Jesus in the wilderness when he was tempted of Satan. Both rejected the easy way. Moses could have had it easy as Pharaoh's son. Or as Pharaoh's daughter's son. Jesus rejected the easy way when Satan tempted him. Both made the sea obey them. Both their faces shone with glory. Moses at Mount Sinai, he came down and he had a veil over his face. Jesus on a Mount of Transfiguration, his garments even flashing like lightning, the Bible says. Both were very meek. Both were rejected by their people, Israel. Christ was like Moses in his life, a prophet like unto me. And here's the command in verse 22 of Acts chapter 3. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. That word hear goes beyond an auditory experience. You are having an auditory experience this morning. How many are having an auditory experience? Okay, I just want to make sure that you're hearing me. Auditory, audit, you are listening, you are hearing, you're having an experience, but that doesn't mean that just hearing is enough. The word hear is not just an auditory experience. It has the idea of obey, pay attention to. It's like parents when your children, they hear you, you know they heard you, and you say, did you hear me? Well, you know they heard you. And they say, I heard you. But they didn't obey, so they really didn't hear you, did they? In Moses' day, the people of Israel were always trying to determine the will of God. Now, I told you to keep your finger there in Deuteronomy 18. Here's why. Go to the verses that precede verses 15 to 19 that we read earlier. Go back and follow as I read verses 9 through 14. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. I wonder what those abominations might be. Well, let's read on. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. Now, just so far, what would you use these kind of people for? It would be to find divine guidance. I need to know what I should do. Verse 11, it goes on. Or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened They listened to observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered or allowed thee to do so. The Lord will raise someone up, and he's the one you should listen to. Don't listen to diviners. Don't listen to charmers. Don't listen to witches. Don't go to the guy or the lady who wants to read the palm of your hand. That is not how God guides us. And he doesn't guide you by taking your Bible, opening it, and putting your finger there and saying, well, this must be what God wants me to do. You listen to what this prophet will say. People are turning to all kinds of false authorities. They go to the newspaper and they see something called the horoscope, and they start thinking, well, I'm such and such. I don't even know what they are. I mean, do you know your sign? If you don't, tell me, please, because it's ridiculous. People going to the horoscope to find out what they're going to do. Or for the fun of it, you know, we eat Chinese food and you open a little cookie afterward and it says something, you know, okay, yeah, this is what's going to happen to you. And we laugh about it because we can. It's stupid. It's foolish. And yet people put stock in that kind of thing. You are not to listen to those. You are to listen to the prophet. Well, who is this prophet? We're seeing his credentials and we're seeing his comparison. He's compared to Moses, a true authority. And yet the Bible tells us something in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that I'd like you to see of what's going to be characteristic of the last days of the days that we live in. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come. I wonder if that time's here. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Boy, that's almost an onomatopoeia. Sound doctrine. It's heavy, it's weighty. They will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they're gonna, after what they desire to hear is what they're gonna put in their pulpits. But notice verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. What are they going to do? What are they going to do to the truth? They are going to turn their ears away from it. But notice the last part of verse 4. And shall be turned to fables. They are active in the first part of verse 4. They will turn away from hearing the truth. They are passive in the last part of verse 4. Once they turn away their ears from the truth, they shall be turned to fables. Folks, it is so hard to believe what people are believing today. I mean, you watch the news. I mean, even in the political ways and the things that people believe today, are you crazy? Are you insane for believing? They shall be turned to fables. People so willingly believe lies. They've turned away from the authority. There's this issue of authority. I'm not a sinner. Who are you to tell me I'm a sinner? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Well, who's the Bible to tell me what I should be doing? You better listen. Hear him back to Acts chapter 3, and you can get your finger out of Deuteronomy 18 now. But Acts chapter 3, hearing him is not only commanded, hearing him, verse 23 and 24, is critical. It's critical. Why? Well, verse 23, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. That prophet is what verse 23 is talking about. That prophet. Who is that prophet? Jesus had fed the 5,000 in John chapter 6. It says in verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, listen, that prophet that should come into the world Many men, even when Jesus walked on the earth, said, he's that prophet. That's him of whom Moses spoke in Deuteronomy chapter 18. He's the one. Peter is emphasizing that again to these listeners. He is the prophet the Lord your God will raise up like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever you shall say unto you, and it shall come to pass that if you don't listen to him, you're going to be destroyed. Not listening to the one God has sent has tragic and eternal consequences. Shall be destroyed. That's the only time that word is used in the New Testament. I'm talking about the Greek word here. But it is a word that Luke is using here to emphasize something. It's related to another word used one time in the New Testament, where it says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 28, he that destroyed the firstborn in Egypt has to do with the destroyer. He that destroyed the firstborn in Egypt. But the word used here in Acts is the same word, but with a prefix now. That's why it's the only time it's used here. And it means he shall destroy out. It has the idea he's going to root him up. Who? The one who will not listen to this prophet. God is going to take him and pull him up by the roots. Folks, what is that saying? Well, what's the most effective way of getting rid of weeds out of your garden? Pull them up by the... And that plant is dead. It cannot live anymore. Every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be rooted out from those people. You know, there's an account. In fact, I'll take you there. Another account in Deuteronomy. You were in chapter 18. I told you we were done there, and we are. So go to Deuteronomy 21. There was an account one day. It's not really something that happened, but it was something that could happen. Where we're going to find out the basic meaning of hear and obey. Deuteronomy 21:18, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that, when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. I think that I have this posted at Walmart. But you know, here we're talking about if a son will not obey the voice, will not hear. That word obey is the word hear. He will not hear the voice of his father. He will not hear the voice of his mother. Even when they've chastened him, he will not hear them. He will not hearken unto them. Verse 20, and they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not hear our voice. Now, I'm emphasizing that word hear in Deuteronomy. So, because I want you to see the tragic results of not hearing this prophet, because that's the idea. In verse 23 of Acts chapter 3, every soul which will not hear that prophet, he will not obey, must be destroyed. You know what that tells me? That when God's word is preached, you're accountable for what you hear. Is God's word preached here? Well, the amens are good, but now let's follow up. You're accountable. That makes you accountable for what you are hearing. That means indifference to what you hear, if it's truly from God's word, if you choose not to listen, you are held accountable. And that's what Peter's trying to communicate here. He's preaching to this crowd, I'm preaching to this crowd. If it's truly authoritative, because it is God's word, folks, you're accountable. Hearing him is critical. And he talks about that prophet in verse 23. He talks about the prophets in verse 24. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. In other words, it wasn't just Moses who spoke of that prophet, but indeed all the prophets proclaimed the coming of that prophet. Am I getting too many prophets in here? You've got Moses the prophet and all the prophets who followed him foretelling about that prophet. It's all going to that prophet who will someday come upon the scene. God's going to raise him up. And all the prophets had proclaimed, Peter is saying, these days, the days in which you are living were foretold, the days in which Jesus Christ walked on this earth, and you wouldn't listen to him. In fact, you crucified him. God had made known his will to Peter's hearers through his prophets. God has made known to us his will as well through that section of the Bible called the prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. I'm doing this because I want you to help me. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. God has made known his will to us through his prophet, but he's made known who that prophet is. Did Isaiah prophesy about Jesus Christ coming? Did he not do so in chapter 7 and verse 14 and again in chapter 9 and verse 6? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and so forth and so on. Daniel prophesied of him. Chapter 2, he's going to be that stone which is going to destroy this image. Chapter 2, chapter 9, when he talks about that he shall come. And then you get into the other prophets. Micah 4 tells the exact place he's going to be born in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Zechariah prophesies when he comes back the second time in Zechariah chapter 12. Every eye shall see him. I mean, prophecy after prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. Jesus is, that prophet is coming. And these people had seen him. They were alive when Jesus walked on the earth because it was just literally days before Peter is preaching the sermon. And they refused him. God had made known his will. These people had been flooded with light. And they sinned against that light. It is so dangerous for you to have light and then to reject light. But that's what men do because men loved darkness rather than light. Folks, there's this issue of authority. Who do I listen to? Who should I listen to? Well, I believe in Moses, these Jews would say. You do you? Moses prophesied about Jesus Christ, who in verse 14 of Luke of Acts 3, you denied him. You desired a murder to be granted. You denied the one that Moses prophesied of. So there's the issue of authority. And then verses 25 and 26, the issue of priority. The issue of priority. You see, these hearers are, they have a privileged position. They've been given priority. Here's the two ways they have priority. Number one, the priority of kindred. In verse 25, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. That word ye at the very beginning is emphasized. In other words, you could read it this way. You yourselves, I am talking to you. You know, kids have this little thing. They go like this. And Peter could be doing this. I'm talking to you. And you. And you. You yourselves are the children of the prophets. I'm talking to you. You are the descendants of these prophets who prophesied of this Messiah who would come one day. You are the sons of the prophets. Were these Jewish people privileged? Boy, absolutely. due to their ancestry. You know, it's kind of interesting that there's this current craze for DNA tests, 23andMe and so forth. People want to know, what's my connection with the past and so forth. Hey, he's pointing out their connection. These prophets were your fathers. By the way, Jesus said the ones you killed. And then he points out that it would be through Abraham's seed, verse 25, last part of the verse, that all the kindreds of the earth would be blessed. But this promise to Abraham regarding his seed does not apply to all of his posterity. In other words, we are not blessed through all of Abraham's descendants. And Paul is careful to point this out in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16 when he says this. Listen closely, because I know you don't have your Bibles open to it. Paul says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed," which is, and then Paul gives the name. Now let me read that again. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many." He doesn't say, use the word plural, "but as of one, and to thy seed," singular, "which is Christ." It's Christ. How would the earth be blessed? Through Jesus Christ, the seed, singular, of Abraham. You're the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, "And thy seed, the one you crucified, is the seed that was promised." He was your brother, racially. But there's not only the priority of kindred, there's the priority of chronology. Verse 26. What is the third word of verse 26? First, chronology. "Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Unto you first. That chronology is followed in the Gospels when Jesus sent forth his 12 disciples and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Why? It's to the Jew first. Unto you first. That chronology is followed in the book of Acts. Go to chapter 13 of Acts and notice what Peter says, what Paul does in verse 46. Paul and Barnabas, Acts 13, 46, "When Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you," talking about the Jews, "but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. You," I needed to preach this to you first, "you refused to listen." And then again in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." You talk about privilege. Here's the priority of chronology. Peter is preaching to them first. Peter would not preach to the Gentiles at this time. Remember the message I preached on Father's Day about you get to Acts chapter 10? He's up on that housetop, and this sheet comes down from heaven. It's got all these unclean animals, and there's this voice that says, "Rise up, Peter, eat." "Oh, I don't ever eat anything unclean." God is showing him it's now time for you to go to the Gentiles. But who's he go to first? Who does he go to in chapter 2? He preaches to a crowd of Jews. Who's he preaching to in chapter 3? A crowd of Jews. Unto the Jew first. But when they began to refuse, as Paul and Barnabas see in Acts 13 and verse 46, they say, "Okay, now we're going to the Gentiles." Praise God. Praise God that the Gentiles are able to hear and be saved. To the Jew first, They have the privilege, like Abraham, of being a blessing to all the kindreds of the earth. But the blessing of Jesus was in turning away every one of you from his what? From his iniquities. The Jews anticipated Messiah ridding them of external oppression. But folks, the real blessing is in being rid of internal oppression. Our problem has nothing to do with external injustices, but internal injustices. The problem that we have is not national, it is individual. His iniquities, personal, his iniquities. You can live in a free country as we do, and yet remain in slavery. Slavery to lusts, passions, and emotions. Turning every one of you from his iniquities is what that prophet would do. And these Jews absolutely know who Peter's talking about. He's talking about the one we had crucified, because he'd already pointed it out to him earlier in a sermon. And now he's concluding and saying, you have no excuse. You have no excuse. Moses foretold him. All the prophets after him foretold. He's the one who's Abraham's seed, who is the blessing of all this earth. He is the one who will turn you from all your iniquities. You have no excuse. Peter's preaching with confidence. And you get to chapter 4 and you look at the last part of verse 4. 5,000 men get saved after the sermon. 5,000 men. You say, 5,000 men, how can that be? There's no way any they could all be there and they could hear his voice. Well, you know I'm reading the book about George Whitefield right now. George Whitefield, right here in the United States, was a British preacher in the 1740s. When he came to the United States, he would preach to crowds of 20, 30, 40,000 people. Benjamin Franklin was one of the auditors. That's the word the book uses. He was one of those who listened. And Ben Franklin, instead of listening to the message as he ought to, is going, how is it possible that this man can preach and every one of us can hear him? And he began to map it out. He said, I've heard that he can preach to 5, 10, 20,000 people. And it's true. So when you get to this and you see Peter, 5,000 men are converted, that's right. 5,000. No wonder you get chapter 4 and the Sanhedrin is upset. The whole world is going after this Jesus Christ we had just crucified. Peter preaches with confidence. Why? He knows the truth. He preaches with authority. Why? Because he has the authoritative word of God. He knows about Moses. He knows about the prophets. And he can preach with authority. Why should we listen to you, Peter? Because I am telling you what Moses said, and I'm telling you what the prophets said, those people you really revere. And they prophesied of this very day. And folks, we can have that same confidence when we witness to people. One of the main things that keeps us from witnessing and preaching like Peter does here is that we don't know for sure. I'm just not real sure. How long are you going to be a Christian in diapers where you don't know for sure? Hebrews chapter 5 talks about the time you shouldn't be on milk anymore. You've been a Christian for a while. You should be eating meat. And those who eat meat can give the milk to others. You and I can have the same confidence as Peter did when he preached this authoritative message.